blow the shofar, I'll come in order in the assembly. Boy, it's good to be back in the house on his appointed times. I just want to start out by saying this has been an incredible past 2 weeks thus far for me. Everything that's been happening these past 2 weeks has been such a great help in my life, especially with everything we're learning. You know, I just can't help to say it. Like gold and apples and settings of silver, it's such a timely word. It's such a timely word with Yehuda and learning his posture and the gash. We invite you gash, his posture, and everything we learn, and how the Father just put him in a spot with the famine to get them where they were, to recognize what's in their hearts to change, so they can get their posture right. And the parallel and the mirror for us today is to get our posture right towards Yeshua. He's going to be returning. And no better time than right now. Yom Teruah is right around the corner. And while we're going through all of this, I'm learning this word in the gash. I really locked in and honed in for the past week in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it says, whatever you do, because I'm under Messiah. He's my head. And there's an order, and he's in the power and authority. Adam and Eve had a power and authority at one time. And it was under Jehovah's constitution. But he broke it. And if you break... you break something you're supposed to be an example of, you're no longer underneath that anymore. You get pulled from that. If I'm under the authority of somebody in their business, and I'm supposed to be teaching and training and portraying what's the rules of that business, and I break it, I can no longer be in that office. I broke it. Adam broke it. But we have a second Adam, a last Adam. And Yeshua came and upheld that constitution, God's constitution. And because he upheld it, now he has all power and authority. And just like Adam, he had all power and authority. He could do whatever he wanted, even though he knew the Constitution. Yeshua could do whatever he wanted. He had the power and authority to let it go or to uphold it. We too have this power and authority to do whatever we want at any time. And then the next thing that came into my life this week, but it says, whatever you do, in word and deed, do it heartily unto Yeshua Messiah. Whatever you do. And so this posture of having this authority under Yeshua, I can do whatever I want, but there's a consequence to pay if I pull away from underneath those rules. He's got rules. He's my head, and I'm the body. We're the body. If we pull from underneath him and get out of those rules, his head's over there and the body's over here. We got to be lined up with him. But I've been listening, and I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have all these responsibilities. I work. I stay pretty busy. But there's got to be a balance. Underneath my Messiah, I have to have a balance all week long. I've been busy. Tiresome week. But that doesn't give me no excuse to not continually keep my life in a balance. And that word right there has helped me in everything, as being a father, as being a husband, as working, taking care of my family, providing for my family. And every person that I meet and talk to on that boat, in public, everywhere, I got to posture myself right. I got to make sure I do what he's called me to do and be just like him underneath his authority. Whatever you do, when I'm on the boat, whatever you do, a word or a deed, in word or deed, you do it heartily unto Messiah. You do it heartily unto Messiah. So it makes you, and as long as you're locked in and aligned, all day long, from the morning throughout the day, you're able to talk with people, you don't have time to do wrong. That's why you're not focused on wrong. If you're carrying something and constantly focusing on that, you don't have time to be doing the right things. You don't have time to be focusing on ministering to the next person that's going to ask you a question or looking at your life that you're living. You got to stay aligned up. And then what really hit my heart, and everybody talks about it, everywhere as I go, it's been an open line for me to be able to speak the truth. It's Charlie. This guy Charlie that I was talking about on Midrash. You know, I had heard about him and I had looked at a couple of his reels, you know, pertaining to scripture and some things that he had to say. But I never did know the guy. And then after his assassination, Brother Scott brought it up. I started digging, finding out about this guy. And this guy was the real deal. You know, the closest I can explain, after going through many, many reels, getting to know his background, where he came from, where he started, and he got a vision. He got a vision to speak with these kids and also on the political. And I've never heard somebody like him when somebody would ask him a question, he didn't hesitate, he didn't pause, he didn't It's like he had this anointing about him. It was incredible. The life that he lived and he portrayed. And so I've been weeping the last couple of days, especially I was praying and talking to the Father, and I was thinking about when Yeshua was here. I didn't get to see that and witness that. And then the disciples, they witnessed him. They talked to him face to face. They got to witness him. And I'm listening to this Charlie, and he's talking about, you got the grace, but you got to have the truth. You know, that stuff, that knowledge of good and evil, you're taking the good and trying to cover the evil. That's what we do. We're constantly doing things that are wrong, like what we do, killing babies. Well, maybe at this certain age, or maybe at this time frame, it's okay. It's taking good and covering up evil. It's evil. It's wrong to kill a child. It's absolutely wrong. So I'm listening and I'm looking at this, and he's doing both of these, and it's just incredible the way he was doing that. And I just, when I witnessed it, last couple of days I've been weeping because you got to witness and see somebody tangible speaking like Yeshua. You got to see it with your eyes. We don't get to see Yeshua. We read about it and we believe. He says, and blessed are those who haven't seen and believed. How much more? That's being really faithful, those who haven't seen but yet believe. But to have a tangible and see him witness to all these kids and talk to them in a way that it didn't, you know, he didn't kind of tell them, you know, in their face, you're doing wrong, you need to do this. He met them where they were. And when he spoke with them, he kept speaking with them in a way and loving them to where they started seeing something a little bit different. And then I started seeing some witnesses. I'm not going to speak much more about this, but it's really been helpful to me. Because there's been witnesses of young girls full of tattoos. You could tell they're on the wild side. And they're giving their story. They said, you know, I heard him speak a couple times. I didn't agree with things he said. And, you know, I had a background of being raised in a church. And I fell away from God. But then to see him assassinated and go back and listen to his messages, it really hit me. And it caused me to see and recognize that I needed, and they change, and they go back. I got me a Bible, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm back in church, and I'm back submitting unto Jesus, unto Yeshua. And there's a lot of Jesus, and a lot of Yeshua, a lot of Jesus in there. But whatever it is, it's been incredible because it's across everywhere. It's all over the place. Everywhere as I turn, a conversation comes up about him. It's an open door for me. It's given me so many open doors to people on the boat today. When it came up, and I was able to share. And Dr. Donaldson today, I walk in, I'm bringing ice chest upstairs. Paul, what about Charlie? Okay. We sit down, we talk about how incredible he was and how he stood bold and how he was fearless. And he spoke the truth. And what I told the people on my boat, and I told him today, I said, you know what? I said, that's incredible. I said, but you know, what he did is what we're supposed to be doing. I said, it's good to go to church and be a spectator and listen to the preacher preach it and listen to Charlie preach it and teach it. And he was fearless and he spoke the word and he risked his life for it. Yeshua said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to risk your life of being killed for my name's sake. I said, what about us? Are we being spectators? Yay, Charlie. Or yay to preach on the platform. Well, what about you and me? What are we doing? Are we really looking at we got grace, but are we looking at the things in our life that we need to get rid of? They got things in our lives that are wrong, and we try and cover it over with good. That's what the knowledge of good and evil is. You're doing wrong, and you're trying to cover it over with good. But the truth is, you need to get rid of it. Yehuda got it exposed. We got things exposed in our life. And I've been finding things in my life, I'm like, just really being careful. Whatever you do, be careful, Chad. Whatever you do, everybody that you're around is watching, and you're responsible for every one of them. Even the mud boats that are running up and down the canals, you don't know them people. That's not any of your business. And I have to change that to, hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? They're people. They're souls. People on my boat. I had to make sure every step I take, I'm keeping note. It's all right. It's okay. It really doesn't matter. Those people are more important than anything. And then I think about Charlie. When he died doing to the fullness of what he said. If he died, this is what he wanted to be doing, faithfully. And I think about me. What do I want to be caught doing if I was to die in the next moment and I didn't know what was going to happen? He's standing there. He picks up the mic and he's hit and it's over. He doesn't have a chance to say time out. This is it. Done deal. Yom Teruah is right around the corner. What is our approach? What is our nagash towards Yeshua when he comes? What do we want to be doing? I want my posture right. So I think about Colossians 3 every day in the morning when I'm on my way home. I may be tired, but it doesn't give me any right if somebody crosses my tiredness to not lash or get ugly or angry. Whatever you do, I say that all the time. Whatever you do, be careful. And word or deed, do it heartily, because my master, who I'm under, is watching what I'm saying and doing, and I'm going to meet him. And I surely don't want to meet him on a bad note towards somebody, and all of a sudden I die and I open up and see him face to face. What was the last thing I was doing when I closed my eyes? Because Charlie right now, he's in the grave. He's dead. And he awaits resurrection. He knows nothing. The scriptures clearly say the dead know nothing. And on the Messiah's return, it's going to be like he's given the speech, and it's like he opens his eyes like nothing else ever happened. He'll see his Messiah, and he'll continue to do on whatever Messiah has got him to lead on to do. So I just, all three of these things hit me all week long. And another thing, nobody knew that was going to happen. How many knows that Jehovah is in charge of everything? And at the very moment he has his chess player ready to play, and everybody's going about their business doing things, and all of a sudden, an assassination of Charlie. Now watch this move. Boom, guys move. Everybody all over the nations has been affected by this. One little move. It's caused people that's not even godly to be looking at this and thinking about this. I didn't know about this. And it's affected me. And I'm constantly looking at the reels. How did he speak to this one? How did he speak to that one? How did he posture himself? He did a great job. How did he do that? How did he do that? He was anointed and gifted to do that. But then I find out he reads 100 books a year. And then he starts off with this little vision to speak not only with, you know, with a godly posture, but also with the politics. And getting into an arena that nobody else had gotten into. And he said, I want to do this. And he got a vision. And he did it. He started off the first 2 years making 100 to 200,000. And then all the way to when he died, he had worked himself up to making 5 million figures a year. Now, I thought about people who get the fat. We talked about the fat. We talked about the oil, the fat that comes from the oil when it gets pressed and it gets worked. And then we talked about the fat of the land, which is like the milk, where you can get relaxed. Now, he was making a lot of money, but he was holding his integrity, and he didn't flinch. He was fearless, and he held to the truth. He didn't go messing around because he had a bunch of money. Think about it. I told Dr. Donaldson this today. I said, Doc, I said, a long time ago when I first started learning the fishing and the hunting with you and Pastor Jesse, I said, I always prayed this. I said, Father, I ever get to that spot where I'm making money, please discipline me and stay on me. Don't let me fall off the cliff like so many do. And I said, because, Doc, you know what? There's a lot of people that make it big time. And you know what? They fall away from God. They go away from Him because they get a lot of stuff. And he said, you're right, Chad. You're right. You are totally right. He said, right now, me and Tessa, we're reading the book of Proverbs, and we're going through this little thing where we're just constantly reading. She's way past me, but I'm listening to people. I'm listening. You meet people where they are. And that's what Yeshua has called us to do. But this Colossians, chapter 3:17, it says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Elohim the Father through Him. And that's one, if you keep it in your heart daily, I promise you, because Yehuda had to have his approach right. He was in a spot, and he's going before Yosef, which represented Pharaoh. And that was, and now in the future, you're going to have Yehuda. And it's in the book of Ezekiel. Maybe we'll get to it in a little bit. Yehuda is going to come before Yeshua. And it talks about it in Ezekiel. But let's go to Colossians. Let's make a little bit of, like Brother Scott says, a little foundation. All the brothers, you notice how they kind of pull from one another. The Father made us that way, to be that way. Colossians 3, chapter 3. Start with verse 1. Put on the new self as a title. How about that? If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the matters which are above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of Elohim. Mind the matters above, not those on the earth. For you have died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah and Elohim. When the Messiah, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifest with Him in esteem. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And there's these things that we have to put to death. We came from the knowledge of good and evil. We have to put these things to death. And we have to keep putting on life. We have to keep absorbing from the tree of life. Yeshua is the tree of life. We have to keep absorbing from Yeshua. And Charlie is a great example that I've been looking at all these reels. Just keeping myself busy. When I got an opportunity to have a break, I'm looking at the reels. I'm going back to Yehuda. I'm going back and looking at the Torah portion. Then I'm going back over here and looking at this. And you just keep yourself inundated with it and keep yourself busy. And it keeps your mind steadfast on keeping an opportunity ready for when somebody is presented or you can talk to somebody. But if you're sitting down spending your time in the world and the things that is non-profitable for your life or helpful to you, you're not going to have the opportunity come and you're going to miss it. But you just got to stay focused. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, whoring, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, greed of gain, which is idolatry. All these things, if we're focusing on Messiah and have ourselves aligned with Him, wouldn't even be in our lives, wouldn't even be a thought. We'd be constantly thinking about Colossians. In whatever you do, if something presents itself with your eyes, you have no thought of looking at that. If something comes in your mind, you cast it down. You don't think about that because you're still thinking about what's going on right now, what we're preparing for. All the way to Sukkot, we're getting ready with the tents. We're talking about the foods. It's that time of the year. It's the cool of the day. And when Adam and Eve came to meet Yehovah, when they came to meet Him, when He came to meet them, it was the cool of the day. It's the cool of the day. It's the season we're in, the cool of the day. I don't know if anybody noticed it. I was reminded of it. I was out in the water before daylight this morning, about 5:20. And I looked up, and that moon has got a star right by it, and it is so beautiful. The moon is getting to smaller and smaller. And before you know it, it's going to go away. And then you're going to watch for those 2 days for it to return for Yom Teruah to actually happen or not. But they got this star. I've never seen it. It's so bright, sitting right next to it. And I tried to take a picture of it with my camera, but I can't get that clean, clear of what you're seeing. I'd rather hit here than try and look at a blurry picture, you know, but it is beautiful. And it's reminding me of what the season we're in. We know that because we read it in the scriptures. It's in the record. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now also put off all of these: displeasure, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old man with his practices. Now put on the new one, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him. Where there is no Greek, Yehudi, circumcised, uncircumcised, foreigner, skinned, slave. It didn't matter who it was. Everybody was important to Charlie. He is speaking on behalf of everybody before the Messiah. And that's what Messiah. Messiah came and died for the whole world, not just Israel. He said for the foreigner and the sojourner alike. And where you get that from? Way back in Devarim. For the foreigner and the sojourner alike. But Messiah is all in all. Therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humbleness. We're learning that from Yehuda. He humbled himself. He bowed himself down. He gave his life and a place for his family. Now he's getting it. Now he's understanding. This is what Messiah is like. He gave himself for his family so they could have life. And they could have a brand new start. A humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against each other, indeed, as Messiah forgave you also, so also should you. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of the perfection. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be filled with thanks. That's why we're always giving thanks in all things. Giving thanks, no matter what's going on. We're always giving thanks. Because the Father's in control of everything at any given time. We talked about that. Many questions come up. You know, a question come up, you know, why did Charlie? Well, did God allow that or disallow that? The Father was in control of it the whole time. He could have caused it to stop. He could have allowed it to happen. He did allow it to happen. It's for a reason. He's got his reasons. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your hearts to the Master in psalms and songs of praise and spiritual songs. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Elohim the Father through him. So when you are reminded of the scripture and remind yourself daily, think about your posture towards anybody, anything, at any given time. What if your life was to be taken at that very moment? What were you doing? What were we doing? And think about that as the days come ahead. What would you want to be doing if it ended right then and there? And how would you want to have been postured? Because you're going to see the Master. He's going to come. You can't fix it once you're dead. It's over with. It's done. Whatever's done is done. And then here it comes. Rules for the household. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as is proper in the Master. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all, for this is well-pleasing to the Master. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, in all respects, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing Elohim. And whatever you do, again, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Master and not to men. You're going to fail if you do it unto men. You got to do it unto the one who is perfect and mastered it. He's the master at it, under the Master. In sincerity of heart. So that one scripture from above And all the way down to here, with those in between, all those are being the husband, all those being the wife, and the children, and the servants, are all falling into place if we can know all the commands that He's teaching us, all of His constitution and authority of the way we're supposed to act and talk and be, will be there if we do it under that one little scripture. Whatever you do, remember, your life is like a vapor. It's very, very short. It don't last very long. It's got a lot of detail in every day, but let's make it count. Knowing that from the Master you shall receive the reward. But if we break them, there's no reward, but there's a judgment that comes for breaking those commands. Whatever you do is going to come back in return. So be careful what we do. What you measure out is what you're going to get in return. But he who does, it says, knowing that from the Master you shall receive a reward of the inheritance. It is the Master Messiah you serve. But he who does wrong shall be repaid for the wrong for which he has done. There is no partiality. The Father sets it all out there. He doesn't purposely come at or do. Everybody chooses on their own terms what they decide. We decide to read. We decide to study. We decide to posture ourselves correctly. Or we can decide to stay right where we are all our lives. Dr. Donaldson was telling me a story today of a man years and years and years ago that he offered to help build his business. But the way he had to build the business, he had to listen to Dr. Donaldson's rules. He says, I know how to build this business, but you're going to have to submit to my rules. And he said he'd love to have the money, he'd love to start the business, but he didn't want to listen to his rules. And he says he looks at that man's life today, 30 years, 40 years later, and he's still in the same spot he was years ago back then, in the same spot when he offered him, all you had to do was submit to the rules. And there's many people that come to church all the time, and there's some that have grown, some have prospered, and in the Father, and doing so great. And there's others are still sitting in the same spot where they were years ago, and it's not anybody else's fault. It's the individual's fault. It's up to us. Wherever we want to be, that's where we're going to be. We can grow, or we can sit in the same spot. We can let the fat come and linger. We could relax and just stay right there and not ever grow and accuse everybody else of what reason why I'm here. Or we can grow and be squeezed, accept the Father's squeezing, and get rid of the things that are there that don't belong. Those things that are there need to go. We can't grow and continue on as long as they're there. We need to be free so we can help other people. So Yeshua is the leadership. He's the head of the body. And as I said before, Adam was in all power and authority. Was in all rule and authority. And so we, under Yeshua Messiah, we all have our part that we're supposed to play. We have our leadership and authority. And so I was just reading in Philippians of a person who showed himself approved and could be trusted. I think it's in Philippians. I don't remember if I wrote it down in my notes somewhere, but it was real important. It was in Philippians about Timothy. Chapter 2. It's in Philippians chapter 2. I just found it. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and purpose, doing none at all through selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility consider... Let me make sure this was... Let me just finish reading it. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and of purpose, doing none at all through selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of Elohim did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped. But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. At that time, you know, Yeshua had all power and authority to not do this, but he emptied himself and allowed it to go. But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men. And having been found in the fashion as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death even of a stake. Elohim therefore has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in the heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is the Master, to the esteem of Elohim the Father. So that my beloved, as you always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own deliverance with fear and trembling. So Jehovah has proven in the record, and with the messengers even today, he moves his hand, and like I said, he does whatever he pleases at any given time. He moves the chess piece. And he did that in Charlie's life with everything that's going on today. He moved that chess piece. And he can speed up things quickly. We don't know the time or the hour. We know around the season. But he can speed it up. He can slow it down. There's still horses that need to come about. Maybe we might have missed something. I don't know. But he said, always be ready. We don't know the time because he doesn't want us to relax. You relax, you'll miss it. So he wants you to constantly stay on top of this to keep our posture right. Because we don't want to have our posture wrong before the Master when he comes. He's the King. Because we had the Ben Yosef come, now we have Ben David coming. He's the King. He's in all power and he's all authority. He's the one who Yah has given him all power and authority. Just like Yosef was given all power and authority, he wasn't Pharaoh, but he represented Pharaoh. Yeshua is not God, but he represents his Father, and he's been given all power and all authority. And I believe this Charlie was like a forerunner, just a little forerunner to spark that flame in people, to wake people up, because it's waking a lot of people up. It's got a lot of people thinking. It really does. So we best be on the ball, not relaxing. Still thinking about them pancakes. That pancake sits on there for a little while. That nasty burnt taste don't taste good. I've always thrown my pancakes away. I can't take that taste. It's that burnt taste. You got to flip it over right at the right time for it to have that nice brown on each side and the moist in the middle. Oh, I love pancakes like that. I never forget, before I get on the bus in the morning, my friends would come and meet me there. We want them Bisquick pancakes. My last name used to be Lay at one time because of my stepdad that my mom married. So when they come over, they go, hey, Lay, Hey, Lay, you got the pancakes? Got the pancakes? And I would take that Bisquick. I didn't like the water ones. I like with milk and eggs. I put eggs in there, the milk, and I mix that stuff really good. And sometimes I lick that raw batter. I love it. I like the raw pancake. I love cake mix. I love the pancake mix, too. My grandma used to say, they got raw eggs in there. Don't eat that. That's nasty. I'm like, no, that's good. I like it. I take it and I pour it in there. And I had to learn to get that fire going just right. Because if it was too hot and you poured it in there, it'd still be raw on the top and burn on the bottom. You had to have it just right. And take that little bit of butter and it start to fizz a little bit and turn it really, really low. And you pour it all in there. And I pour it in there where that thing would make it so big I had to take two spatulas. My grandma used to get mad because I'd flip it over and it would go all over the wall. She's like, you're making a mess. You're making a mess. I said, but that's how you got to do it. It's going to be moist right in the middle. And I take it out and I split it four ways between me and Justin and Chris and all my friends that I used to go to school with. But that just reminded me of that. Pastor comes up with some memories that he talks about back when he was a kid jumping ditches. So that reminded me of that. In 2:13, for it is Elohim who is working in you both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. He gave us a second chance to do whatever you do it heartily unto Yeshua Messiah. And this is our second chance. We work on it daily. Whatever you do, be careful, whatever you do, you're going to help somebody's life. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Gave us a second chance. So Philippians 2:14, do all matters without grumblings and disputings, in order that you be blameless and faultless, children of Elohim without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, right? Thought I had my water with me. Holding on to the word of life for a boast to me in the day of Messiah that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In fact, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the offering and service of your belief, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This kind of reminded me of the leadership role. It reminds me of the time that Jehovah said, it's time to put Yosef in the office. It's time to put him in the office. There's a lot of us that he wants to put us in the office, but we're still not ready yet. We still got things we got to work on. We got still things we're holding on to we got to get rid of. We go through Yom Teruah after Yom Teruah after Yom Teruah. One of those days is going to be real Yom Teruah. One of those days is really going to happen. Or maybe like Charlie, life might end, and it may be towards what was you doing at the time. Was it to the fullest of the vision that God gave you? Everybody's got a vision. Everybody's got an anointing. Everybody's got a special gift. There'll never be another Charlie. It was incredible the things that he was able to do. I told Dr. Donaldson, I said, at any given time, somebody could ask him a question, and he didn't hesitate, he didn't stutter, he was right on point and he gave it, and he gave it in the truth. And he upheld the truth in everything, no matter what subject it was, he upheld it. I've been studying this guy and looking through these reels, and I'm like, that was amazing. And I envy that. I want to be like that. I can't ever be him. I'm not anointed to be a speaker like he was in those positions, because he touched a lot of lives in the position he was. But I'm a charter guide, and I have a lot of people that other people can't touch. You got a lot of people. You might have a restaurant. You might have a business. You might be the one at your house that takes care of the ministry. Pastor Jesse's wife, she's got a big role to play. Sister Felicia has a big role to play. Every time she gives me a hug, that's a big role to play. She's loving me, and I'm accepting her, and it's incredible. It's incredible, every part of the body. Everybody has a role to play. Philippians 2:19, but I trust in the Master Yeshua to send. Now this is the part I'm getting to. Like Pastor said, I hate to start with a you know, right after what was said. But I trust in the Master Yeshua to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I too am encouraged by news from you. For I have no one else of the same mind who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For all seek their own interests, not those of Messiah Yeshua. But you know, he has proven himself that as a son with his father, he served me for the good news. So I expect to send him as soon as I see how it goes with me. And I trust in the Master that I myself shall also come shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your emissary and servant to my need, since he was longing for you all and being troubled because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick near to death, but Elohim had compassion on him, and not only on him, but on me as well, lest I should have sadness upon sadness. Therefore I sent him more eagerly, so that on seeing him again, you might rejoice, and I might be less sad. Receive him therefore in the Master with all joy, and hold such as he in esteem, because for the work of Messiah, he was near to death, risking his life to fill up what was lacking in your service towards me. This is a guy in leadership, and he's exalting. It's for the gospel of Messiah. He was excited about it, for his role that he was playing. He was doing it to the fullest. And that's what happened with Charlie. He was doing his role to the fullest. All the way to death. Hebrews chapter 10. So let us draw near with a true heart. Chapter 10, verse 22. I'm sorry. Let us draw near with a true heart and completeness of belief, having our heart sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with clean water. And that's what we're doing right now on the evening of Shabbat. Getting ready, cleansing our hearts, gathering on a time, appointed times that he's called us to appoint. Let us hold fast the confession of our expectation without yielding. For he who promises trustworthy. And let us be concerned for one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, and so much more as you see the day coming near. For if we sin purposely after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a slaughter offering for sins. This type of sinning, that was a note, but some fearsome anticipation of judgment and a fierce fire which is about to consume the opponents. Anyone who has disregarded the Torah of Moshe dies without compassion on the witness of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think shall be deserved who has trampled the Son of Elohim underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was set apart as common, and insulted the spirit of favor? For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says Jehovah, and again, Jehovah shall judge his people. It is fearsome to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. But remember the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. On the one hand, you were exposed to reproaches and pressures, and on the other hand, you became sharers with those who were so treated. For you sympathized with me in my chains, and you accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that you have a better and a lasting possession for yourselves in the heavens. Do not then lose your boldness, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the desire of Elohim, you receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming shall come, and he shall not delay. But the righteous shall live by belief. If anyone draws back, my being has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of belief to the preservation of life. So if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, obeying him underneath this constitution that Yeshua is representing in a leadership, we should have no problems with all these things that we've done in the past. We shouldn't be focusing on those things anymore. And if we made a mistake, Pastor keeps emphasizing over and over again, the enemy's the one that's going to keep bringing it up to keep you there trapped. You have to let those things go so you can grow a Messiah and do your calling that he's called you to do. So we're talking about Nagash, about drawing near. And in the Torah portion, and he drew near, it was a title, because it's Vayagash. But the word there, draw near, is Nagash. And it's the Nun, and it's the Gimel, and it's the Sheen. And let's go there. This all ties together with, you know, with James, about drawing near to Elohim. And that was in chapter 4. Let's go there and read this before I back up to the Torah portion. I want to read this because it had draw near in it. We're talking about Nagash, drawing near. Because about life and moving forward with a gimel, your feet are moving forward, a forward motion. Yehuda was moving forward in a forward motion, bowed down, and had to deal with the burning of the heart. Sheen is a fire. A burning of the heart. A heart is getting in the right place. Our hearts are getting fixed in the right place. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near. And be like a Nagash. Draw near to Elohim, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse the hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and joy to dejection. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Master, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not speak against one another. He that speaks against a brother and judges his brother speaks against the Torah and judges the Torah. And if you judge the Torah, you're not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. There's one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, let us go to such and such a city, spend a year here and trade and make a profit, when you do not know of tomorrow, for what is your life? For it is a vapor that appears for a little. We just talked about that. It is a vapor that it appears for a little and then it disappears. Instead of you saying, if the master desires, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your proud speeches. All such boasting is wicked. To him then who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, Charlie was talking about this to a person, and I'm not going to get into the detail of it, but it says, you know, even though a person doesn't go to church, never been to church, never even read a Bible, God has already instilled it in the heart of every man to know that there's something right or there's something wrong when you know you're doing something right and you know you're doing something wrong. Because he's talking to these young ladies that are in this sinful state, and he's saying, you just have that, you know that something's wrong. Because when he questioned one girl, he said, do you spend time with your father? He's still talking. No, I don't. Something's wrong there, you see? He's getting to the spot. There's a spot there. Something's wrong. You know something's wrong. Even though you're going this way and you say, it's right that I do this, I'm good that I do this, and I'm living my life this way, you still got that because you could see it on the expression of a face when he said, do you still talk to your dad? That wrong is in there. It's instilled in the heart of every human being, even an atheist. It's on the inside. You know something's not right. You know something's wrong. You're not doing right. And so he was expressing that. Every human being has it in their DNA that you know something's wrong. Something ain't right. So let's go to Nagash for a minute. Time goes so fast. And there's so much to talk about, seriously. So it's Genesis 45, verse 4. Reflecting on 44, when Yehuda approached, there's also the same word, Nagash, in Genesis 45, 4. Then Yosef said to his brothers, please come near to me. It's the same word, Nagash. So you have Yehuda, he's drawing near Nagash. And then you have Genesis 45, verse 4, when Yosef said to his brothers, please come near to me. And when they came near, he said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom you sold in Mishreim. Come near. So this Nagash is Strong's H5066 to draw near, to approach. And it's also talks of a sexual intercourse. It's on the inside heart. It's a fire drive. It talks about to be brought near, to draw near, to be or to come. So the first time in Scripture we see this is with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. It says, and Abraham drew near, Nagash, and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wrong? So Nagash is the noon, which is about life. And the gimel is the foot, it's the approach. And the sheen is a flame, like on a menorah, a burning on the inside. Nagash is an intimate word. We just talked about sexual intercourse. It says Nagash is an intimate word, full of Yah's life, and an intimate seriousness in the request to approach or draw near or come near. In Genesis 29:10, because this brings us way, way, way back, because there's a Nagash that Yaakov is experiencing with his first time with Rachel. So you see in this Genesis 29:10, and it came to be when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Yaakov went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Yaakov kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. So he went near. So he, first of all, he saw. It says he saw, which is Ra'ah. And if you look in this 29:10, and it came to pass when Yaakov, he saw. There's an et there. There's an H853. Who's there? Et. The Aleph and the Tav. He's there. He's with him at this time when it's happening. He's watching all this unfold and he's there at the time. The et's there. Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. And the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Yaakov went near and rolled. When he rolled the stone, the Strong's H853, Aleph Tav is there again. We got three actions. He saw, and then he rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and then he watered. It's there again, the H853, the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So he saw, Et is there, the Aleph and the Tav. He rolled, the Aleph and the Tav is there. He watered, the Aleph and the Tav is there. And if you think about it, without this happening, there is no Yosef, there is no Benjamin. So this has got to take place and it's going to take place. We wouldn't have the rest of the story without this happening. And Yehovah is there watching it all unfold, and he's there. He saw, he rolled, and he watered. This is all the plan of Yah, and he's there, and he saw it when he saw, and he rolled, and he watered. And he has a very, very big interest in Rachel. Remember, this is the draw near, this is Nagash. Nagash is in there. The noon, the gimel, and the sheen. There's a heartburn. There's a love towards Rachel that he sees and he desires. And the same the gosh is when Yosef is telling, come near me. Come near me is Nagash. So you get the picture when you're reading all this, when you know what the Hebrew word means. If our interests are on Nagash, on Nun, on Gimel, and Sheen, towards Yehovah is like this, is it like Yaakov's drawn near to Rachel in these three actions? Because when you think about it, I read a couple of things, a couple of little articles. When you went and read about when the shepherds showed up, there was many shepherds that got there and rolled the stone. But when you read it, he's got this heated up draw towards Rachel that he goes and he has this super strength to roll this stone by himself. He's got this desire, this strong desire that he rolls it himself. He rolls the stone off the well. And when he does this, not only does that happen, he also waters the rest. There was a residual effect because of what he did. There was a watering. And so when we draw near to Yehovah, and we're doing the things that sometimes it doesn't make any sense, we're going to end up watering a lot of others, helping a lot of others out. It all goes together. It all ties together. In Genesis 29:11, we just got finished talking about that. It took several shepherds to remove such a large stone. Genesis 12:11. And it came to be when he was close to entering Mishraim, this is Abraham, and that he said to Sarah, his wife, see, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look out. So we see this word, 87126, is karab. This is a different meaning for the same draw near. This is karab. So let's read it again. It came to be when he was close to entering Mishraim that he said to Sarah his wife, see, I know thee a beautiful woman to look at. So when he drew close, this word is karab. It means to come near or to approach, to enter into or draw near. And the primitive root is to approach for whatever purpose. To approach, to cause, to draw near, to produce or make ready, stand or take. So Matthew 26:45. And 46. Then he came to his taught ones and said to them, still sleeping and taking rest? When he did what? When he came to his taught ones and said, I'm still sleeping and taking rest. See, the hour has come near, and the son of Adam is delivered up into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. See, he who delivers me up has come near. So you see that word come near is G1448. Is egizo. Is to make near, that is to approach, to be at hand, to come, to draw near, to come, draw nigh. Approaches. So that's where we get approaches or draw near. And the ancient Hebrew that comes from this Greek is the Strong's 87126, which we just talked about, the karab. This one leads me to karab, the Hebrew word from the Strong's, H17126, the ancient Hebrew of this word, karab, is to approach, near, a bringing, a giving, or approaching of someone or something to be close, at hand, or among. And it's the V, to come near, to draw near, to bring nigh, to approach. So that kind of made me think about your redemption draws nigh. Think about that. your redemption draws nigh. In Luke 21:28, it says, when these matters begin to take place, and we know about those matters, you can go read about those matters, when these matters begin to take place, look up and lift up your heads. We shouldn't be caught by surprise. We should be learning enough through everything that we've been learning up today that we should know when, where, how to posture ourselves as it draws near. When these matters begin to take place, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. What are we doing whenever Yom Teruah is approaching? We're looking up. We're looking at the moon. We're looking for the sliver. We're looking for the sliver. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. The karav, it draws nigh. Again, and that, there's that word. It's in Luke 21:28. That's the same word as G1448, igizu, to make near, that is to approach, to be at hand, to come near, to draw near, to draw near. In James 4:8, draw nigh unto me. It says, draw near to Elohim, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. What are we doing? We're checking out our hearts. We're making sure we're clean and pure. Whatever you do, do it word, deed, do it heartily unto Messiah Yeshua, who is the head. We have to make sure. So when we're doing that, and we're staying aligned all the day, it keeps us in the right office. But if we sin, it pulls us from being underneath there. Because remember, when Adam sinned, when Adam did wasn't was written, he wasn't that example. He had to be pulled from office. So that's something you could think about whenever you're underneath and aligned, you're underneath the head, you're lined up with the body, the assembly. When you sin, you pull yourself away from the head. You're back out of office. So if you're trying to tell somebody or teach somebody anything about this, you're in error. You're in error. Because you're teaching it wrongly. You got to get yourself repentive and back lined up so that you can properly teach in that office. You're no longer in that office. You can go all around the world. You don't have to go to church and you can tell everybody, I'm born again, I'm a Christian. But if you're sinning and you're not repentive, you're not lined up underneath the head. You got to be lined up with the whole assembly, which is the church, the ecclesia, which is the synagogue. You got to go back and look at that. That's the synagogue. Church came much, much later. We're not going to get into that. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far advanced. The day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Philippians 2:30. Because for the work of Messiah, he was what? He was near death. He was near death. Charlie was always near death. He talked about it. He says, if you're not near death, if you're not being persecuted, you haven't gotten close enough. He says, if you're being persecuted, you're close. And he died for it. He did. Because for the work of Messiah, he was near death, risking his life to fill up what was lacking in your service towards me. So both of these had similarities. Charlie had a similarity of his master Yeshua. They're both Nagash. They're so near to death for the lives of others, it got into all the world's businesses and conviction to turn to teshuvah, to change the mind. That's what's happening all over the world right now. There's a lot of teshuvah going on, a lot of turning and changing minds, a lot of young ones. He touched a lot of young ones. And there's a lot of reels that you can't erase. They're there for them to see. And it's going to keep going. And no telling what his wife's going to do. His wife's going to carry the torch. And we're going to keep praying for that family. You got kids that's going to be raised. They're going to be told about their father, what he did. He was a great example for each and every one of us. And this ain't the end of it. It's going to keep going on and on. And you're going to have all the crooked ones on the other side, just like there was for Yeshua, trying to hide his body, lie and cheat. Oh, it was a conspiracy. It was a this, it was that. But you can't deny it. When you sit there and you listen to it, you're drawn into it. It's the master talking through him and speaking through him. You can't deny it. You know what the set apart spirit is versus man in the lives of Hasatan. And Hasatan ain't going to stop trying to twist it up. That's what the knowledge of good and evil is. It's twisted. It's all twisted. We're never supposed to take part of that because it's twisted. Always trying to twist his word in religion. That's what it is. The knowledge of good and evil is twisted. His word is sincerity and truth and integrity, and it upholds. It's never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's not old. And it's forever, and it'll never go away. And you can kill people in the flesh, it still won't go away. It still keeps going. You can't kill the word. You'll never kill the word. So whatever we do during the day, thinking about that scripture, it talks about it, it will bring the master joy. It brings the father joy. And eventually it brings joy to those who are hurting, who are around us. Not only him, but them. It'll bring joy to their life. People are trapped in darkness, don't know how to get out of it, are trapped in this evil covered with good. It's just, they're just covered in it and exposing it in a way that it really touches, and it's an amazing thing. Somebody has to be an example. And everybody has a gift. The Father's done it. He's given everybody a gift. And I'm going to end right there. I'm going to stop right there. And just to let everybody know, when Brother Rob was speaking about Nagash, it's like, I can't help it. I didn't just pick it. He spoke it, and it went right into my heart. I'm like, okay. He said, I want you to go look this up. I'm like, okay. So I started digging into it. So I'm listening to the messages that pastors bringing to the table. We're talking about in Sukkot that's coming up, Yom Teruah. And then that happened with Charlie. I didn't know it was going to happen with him. And then that Colossians 3 came. And it's been working on me all these past 2 weeks, working on me. And so I can only give what I'm actually doing. I can't go past this. You know, I was always taught, don't go jump ahead. Don't get too far ahead of me. Get yourself in trouble. You can gather a lot of information, but don't get too far ahead of me. This is where we are right now in the Torah portion, via Gash. And don't go falling behind. Don't go relaxing in the fat, because you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Stay right here and keep it balanced. Keep yourself maintained. I know you got a lot of work. You got a lot of responsibility. A grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, work, whatever it is. We got a responsibility, and he'll give us the strength. That's what I ask him every day. I say, Father, give me the strength. Help me in whatever it is to get through some of these things that I have trouble with. And he brought me a Charlie. It's been the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me. And it's been keeping me aligned. And so Yeshua is the one that we're really supposed to focus on the most, but he gives us these little bitty nuggets that helps us along. And he'll help you. All you got to do is ask. Just ask him. All right?